Ever heard the one about the con artists who tricked, well, God's chosen people? No, it's not some ancient joke. It's right there in the Bible, the story of Joshua and the Gibeonites. And that's what we're taking a deep dive into today, a Paris sermon from just last month that used this story to talk about religious tolerance, interpreting scripture, and even who God chooses.
It's interesting because this isn't just some dusty Old Testament tale.
Right.
It's a story that asks some pretty, timeless questions about how we deal with difference.
Exactly. So picture this, the Israelites, fresh off some, divine instructions to go conquer Canaan, a land that, according to their God, was promised to them. The catch. They're commanded to, well, wipe out anyone and everyone living there.
It's pretty brutal stuff.
It is. So enter the Gibeonites, a Canaanite group who find themselves staring down, well, total
Total
annihilation.
annihilation, yeah.
So this is where things get really clever.
This is where it gets good.
The Gibeonites, seeing the writing on the wall, they decide on a daring, even audacious plan.
Yeah, bold move.
Instead of raising an army, they choose deception. And their goal, exploit a loophole in the Israelite laws of war by pretending to be foreigners from a distant
From a
land.
distant land, yeah.
They were really pushing their luck, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, imagine going up against a divinely appointed force
I know.
with nothing but like worn out sandals and a prayer.
Worn out sandals. Okay, so how did they pull it off, this grand charade?
So they show up at the Israelite camp looking like I don't know, they crawled out of the woodwork, right? Tattered clothes, moldy bread, sandals worn down to the nub, and their
Oh,
story.
what was their story?
Oh, we've been traveling from this far off land, drawn by the reputation of the Israelite God, and we're just seeking a peace treaty.
Wow.
Yeah, choosing servitude over certain death. What else could they do?
And the Israelites bought it.
Hook, line, and sinker.
They were completely taken in by the act, so much so that they made a covenant with them in the name of God, swearing to spare their lives.
Wow.
Talk about a close call.
That's talk about divine intervention, right? But this little deception wasn't going to stay hidden forever.
No, yeah.
Secrets have a way of coming out.
They always do.
And this one's a big one.
Yeah, the jig was up. The Israelites uncovered the Gibeonites' ruse,
Busted.
realizing, wait a minute, these aren't weary travelers from some far-off land. These are the people from
They
our hit list.
exactly.
And this is where the sermon takes us from,
Yeah.
clever trickery to a real theological dilemma.
Because now the Israelites, they've got a problem. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. They made a promise in the
Right.
name of God.
They swore an oath.
But those Gibeonites, well, they weren't exactly, playing by the rules either.
So what did they do? Did they stick to the letter of the law, the one that said wipe out the Canaanites, or did they honor their word, the oath they swore before God?
Right. It's like, talk about a lose-lose situation,
Okay.
because I mean, if they go back on their word, what does that say about their loyalty, their honor,
Right.
and more importantly, what does that say about their relationship with God?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But on the other hand, if they keep their promise to the Gibeonites, well, they're sparing a group that God himself ordered them to destroy.
It's like they're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly. And this is where the sermon really gets interesting
Okay.
because it asks us to consider, how do we deal with these kind of impossible choices? When we're faced with conflicting obligations, how do we decide which path to take?
Right. So what do they choose? I mean, did they go back on their word and decide to attack the Gibeonites?
They chose to honor their oath. Yeah, the sermon points out that for the ancient Israelites, breaking a covenant, especially one sworn in God's name, that was a huge deal, way bigger than, wiping out a city or two.
Wow, so they chose compassion and keeping their word over this strict literal interpretation of the divine command.
In a way, you could say they chose mercy over blind obedience.
There's a powerful message in that.
Oh, absolutely. And the sermon really drives this point home. It argues that this whole story, it's not just about some ancient legal loophole.
Right.
It's about something much deeper. It's about the importance of relationship.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that sometimes staying true to the spirit of the law means being willing to bend the letter a little bit.
And this is where the story takes, I think, a really fascinating turn. The Gibeonites weren't just spared. They were actually integrated into Israelite society.
Yeah, and not just integrated, they became servants in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? These people, once destined for destruction,
right,
ended up serving the very altar of their one-time enemy.
There's a real beauty in that, a kind of irony. Mm. It speaks to a radical kind of inclusion, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, yeah. And this is where I think the sermon draws a really powerful parallel to our own time, you know, in a world that's what increasingly interconnected, but also deeply polarized. This story, it gives us this really compelling model for navigating difference, for living with people who aren't like us.
So how does this ancient tale of trickery and unexpected grace, how does it apply to us today? I mean, this happened thousands of years ago.
Well, the sermon argues that it challenges us to rethink how we view and interact with people who are different from us, especially those of different faiths.
Okay.
It challenges this idea that any one religion has a monopoly on truth, you know, or divine favor.
So instead of viewing, say, people from other faith traditions as adversaries,
right,
we should approach them with an open mind, with even a willingness to learn from each other.
Exactly. The sermon uses this really powerful phrase. It talks about the need to de-imperialize religion.
What does that mean?
Well, it's this idea that we need to move away from this rigid dogma, this idea that one belief system should, you know,
dominate.
Yeah, dominate. Exactly. And instead, we need to move towards a more open and inclusive understanding of faith.
Okay, so it's more about dialogue and respect and understanding than it is about...
Exactly. It's about recognizing that there are many paths up the mountain, you know, and that our job isn't to convert or to conquer, but to coexist, to find ways to live together peacefully.
That's a powerful message, especially today. But it's easy to talk about dialogue and inclusion, right?
Sure.
Putting it into practice, I think, seems a lot harder, don't you think? So how do we actually bridge those divides in a meaningful way?
Well, the sermon offers some guidance on that, and it suggests that maybe we need to rethink how we approach Scripture. Okay. Instead of viewing it as this rigid set of rules to be blindly followed, maybe we should approach it more as a source of inspiration, something that can be interpreted in diverse ways, you know, that encourages critical thinking, open-mindedness.
So instead of Scripture being used as a weapon to divide,
right,
it becomes a tool to build bridges of understanding and empathy.
Yeah, to find common ground even in the face of difference. And you know, that brings us to the final image that the sermon leaves us with, the image of a breach in a wall.
A breach in a wall.
And we're encouraged to be those breaches, to be open to these unexpected encounters, to challenge our own preconceived notions about not just God,
right,
but about each other.
It's a really powerful image. It makes you think about how we can create spaces for genuine encounters and dialogue even, or perhaps especially, with those we might have once considered outsiders. So as we wrap up this deep dive, we're left with some pretty thought-provoking questions. How can the Gibeonite story, with its themes of, well, courage, cunning, and unexpected grace, inspire us to navigate our own encounters with those different from ourselves? Does it challenge us to re-examine our own assumptions about faith, about inclusivity, and the very nature of chosenness? That's something to chew on, wouldn't you say?